Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Jorginho. Welcome to this edition of the Arsenal Match Day audio program.
Arsenal versus Brentford, Saturday, March the 9th, 2024. Kickoff, 5:30 p.m. The contents, captain's notes, around Arsenal, player feature, Aaron Ramsdale, women, sustainability, community voice, my fave shirt, academy young gun, Nathan Butler Oyedeji, around the academy, visitors, Brentford, match action, Arsenal versus Newcastle United, match action, Sheffield United versus Arsenal, and teams.
Martin Odegaard, Captain's Notes. We've been in great form recently, and now it's about maintaining those standards and continuing to build momentum. This league is so tough, so competitive, and every game is so important. It's another 3 points available today, and that's all that matters. That's what we want to do. Go out there, be ruthless, win the games, and keep pushing on to the next one. Our challenge now is to keep performing how we have been lately and raise it even higher. We always knew the quality we have in the team, and we know our top level can be amazing. We've shown that in the last few games, so let's keep going. We have to show we are able to keep it up from now on. That's our target. But still, I feel we have a lot of things we can improve, and that's one of the good things. There are things we can work on and be even better at. We've been working hard all week looking for ways to improve. Brentford drew here last season and have a great record against the top teams, so they're always a challenging team to play against. They're strong on set pieces, get a lot of restarts, and they look to put you under pressure with their direct play. We have to be ready for it, get the ball down and play our own game. We're back at the Emirates today, playing in front of our amazing supporters, and the atmosphere here for the Newcastle game was just incredible. It really was something else. I knew you would all bring the noise, and you didn't disappoint. It's even more special under the lights playing in the evening. Coming out of the tunnel, seeing all the flags, scarves and colour, then during the game, the support we had was amazing. And we really needed it, because I can tell you we felt tired going into that game. After the defeat in Porto and all the travelling from 3 away games, we really needed that energy you gave us. It made so much difference, and you saw that in our performance. We wanted to be really intense from the first minute. We were all so fired up after what happened in Porto, and of course what happened against Newcastle earlier in the season. We wanted to put things right. We were determined and we had some extra motivation. The way we started set us up for the rest of the game. We got some good situations early on, a few corners, some chances, and the high press was brilliant too. The way we defended our own box was really good as well, and of course we have scored more goals recently too. We continued in that same spirit at Sheffield United as well, and again I think the early goal made a big difference, especially in a game like that, because their whole game plan is to defend, so the longer they keep that clean sheet going, the more belief they have. So of course it's really good to get an early goal, and we didn't stop there. It was just a brilliant performance. What more can I say? We destroyed them. We were ruthless in front of goal. The pressure was really good again, and so was how we dealt with their direct play. We were really solid all over, up until some point in the second half when we started to do some things differently. I don't think we intentionally relaxed at all. In fact, you would have seen in the first half that every time we scored, we got together and said to each other, let's go and get another one, let's do it again. That's the mentality we have in the team now, We want to keep pushing, keep playing, keep scoring goals. If we get one, we want two, then we want three. That was the mentality, and you never know whether goal difference might mean something in the end. So everyone was feeling ruthless, but also games can change. And Sheffield United altered some things, we changed a few players, and it can be hard to keep up that rhythm. But we kept a clean sheet, we won 6-0 away, so we can't ask for much more. I can't remember playing a game like that where we've dominated so much. Everyone is talking now about what we're doing with the ball, scoring goals, but also when you look at our counter-press, how we win the ball back, it's so hard for the opponents. I've been on the other side before, trying to defend deep, and escaping that when you're being pressed is so difficult. We're doing that so well at the moment, it's up to us to keep it going. My dad was at the game on Monday because he was in the country finishing his pro license. He was with a big group of Norwegian coaches, so they chose a good one to come to. I spoke with him afterwards, and like everyone, he was very impressed with how we played, especially the first half. But as I said, we have to use that momentum now in a positive way, and the focus is on getting the points this afternoon. Thanks for your brilliant support in the last few weeks. Bring the noise again today.
Around Arsenal. Scoring Arsenal. We have been busy setting various scoring records over the past few weeks. We netted twice in each half of our last home game here against Newcastle United, thereby becoming the first team in Premier League history to score at least two goals in seven consecutive halves of football. We extended that to eight on Monday against Sheffield United, but the sequence ended when we netted just once in the second half. However, we did equal our record away win in the Premier League with our 6-0 victory at Bramall Lane, the second time we'd equaled that club record in as many months, following our 6-0 defeat of West Ham at the London Stadium on February the 11th. It was also the earliest an away side had ever been five goals up in the Premier League, 39 minutes, and only the second time we have scored five first-half goals in a Premier League match, after beating Southampton 6-1 at home in May 2003. The big win over Sheffield United on Monday also took Mikel Arteta past the 300 goal mark as manager. We have now scored 304 in the league under the boss, and 406 overall. Kiwior's header against Newcastle United was goal 400. Following on from our big wins at West Ham and Burnley, we have also now become the first team in English league history across all divisions to ever win three consecutive away games by at least a five-goal margin. 10,000 up! Ben White's second-half goal against Sheffield United was particularly notable for being the 10,000th all-time goal scored by our men's first team. The tally includes all goals scored in the league, FA Cup, League Cup, European Football and Community Shield, dating back to Hope Robertson scoring goal number one in 1889. The goals came from 5,839 matches at a rate of 1.71 per game on average. We will have an in-depth look at the milestone in the Porto programme on Tuesday. Want to be part of our team for 24-25? We are now recruiting roles for next season across our retail and stadium tours teams, looking for passionate and driven individuals to apply who will be the face of our club. Our retail assistants ensure we give an amazing supporter experience by delivering a world-class service to every customer who visits our retail stores. Our tour hosts play a key role in communicating our story to all of our stadium tour visitors from around the world, sharing the history and achievements of our club. So if you have previous customer service experience, are driven to provide a great service to our supporters, are passionate about our club, or know someone else who is, then please check out and apply for our roles via careers.arsenal.com or scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme. A special night with Liam. I'm a fan now, declared Liam Brady. I did 12 years as a player, then nearly 20 years as academy manager and ambassador for the club. But now I'm a fan. The club is ingrained in me. Liam was talking about his life to ASA, Arsenal Independent Supporters Association, recently, reminiscing about his early days in a team that was underachieving, but with great players coming through the youth ranks. Not unlike the situation initially faced by Mikel Arteta, Liam observed. Terry Neal, the manager, was lucky in that he had David O'Leary, Frank Stapleton, Graham Ricks, lads like that, and they were playing alongside Pat Rice and Sammy Nelson. Winning the FA Cup in 1979 with that team is one of Liam's favourite memories. But who does he consider to be the best signing by an Arsenal manager? Pat Jennings. Tottenham thought he was finished, he says with a chuckle, and he played another 10 years for us. An essential ingredient to succeed, Liam said, is to love the game. But he admitted he would bottle a 50-50 challenge with the likes of Graham Souness, preferring to stay on the pitch rather than risk being carried off. And he told of his first game at Anfield, where he faced Liverpool hard man Tommy Smith. He was like Charles Bronson in Death Wish, said Liam. I was only 18, fearless. I got the ball, turned him this way and that, and got in a cross. Jogging back to the centre circle, he came up behind me and said, "You do that again and I'll break your leg." I believed him and gave quite a good exhibition of one-touch football for the rest of the evening. Five-star supporters clubs. Welcoming supporters clubs to Emirates Stadium on their special match day. Today, we welcome two sets of fans, from Arsenal Kilkenny and Arsenal Kuwait. The Kilkenny Supporters Club was formed at the start of the 2002-03 season at the Village Inn pub, Kilkenny, and were officially affiliated in 2004. A like-minded group who wanted to grow the local supporter base and travel to London, they now have 194 members, with at least another 30 looking to join. Of the 50 original members, over 40 are still part of the club. They meet in Brethnach's Walsh's Bar, John Street, Kilkenny, every 4 to 6 weeks, with Saturday games at 5:30 p.m. especially popular, and 8 to 10 members will visit the Emirates for every home game. We have had 40 to 50 members at each meet, which is a great turnout, they say. We prioritise these meets, as it was one of the founding principles of setting up the club in the first place, provide a venue to watch games as a group. The club, who aim to have all members signed up to the Arsenal membership within the next few years, have had many highlights, running from their first trip over to a European game when we earned a crucial 0-0 draw against Real Madrid in 2006, to the group who watched us play so brilliantly against Newcastle in our last league game at Emirates. They also list the fact the club's banner is part of the new stadium artwork as a huge source of pride. Arsenal Kuwait were formed in 2014. The idea started when a small group of Arsenal fans attended a public screening of Arsenal v Bayern Munich. We were joined by other fans who happened to be there, and the idea was born. Now with 190 members, the group meet once a month in cafes or hookah bars and send supporters to Emirates 4 times a season, they say. One of their highlights, despite the result, was taking a large contingent to Baku for the Europa League final. And the group has a strong focus on engaging children in their activities to attract the supporters of tomorrow and build an even bigger fan base in Kuwait. They wanted to highlight superfan Yahya Kassim, who has turned a part of his house into a mini Arsenal museum that people visit at all hours of the day. Have a brilliant day with us today, Kilkenny and Kuwait. Meet the mascots. The Arsenal mascot this afternoon is 11-year-old Hugo from Dublin. He lists his favourite players as skipper Martin Odegaard, Declan Rice and Alex Sinchenko. Brentford's mascot is 10-year-old Thomas, who is from Maidenhead. We hope you both have a day to remember at Emirates Stadium. Congratulations, Brendan. Our former defender, Brendan Batson, OBE, has been inducted into the National Football Museum Hall of Fame. Batson and his family moved to England from the West Indies when he was 9. He started his professional career at Arsenal and became our first black player when making his debut away at Newcastle United on March the 11th, 1972. The National Football Museum Hall of Fame aims to celebrate and highlight the achievements of those who have made an outstanding contribution to English football. The Hall of Fame acknowledges and champions the careers of those that go beyond just impact on the pitch. Brendan was inducted not only for his work on the pitch, but his trailblazing achievements, social impact, and service to football post-retirement. He spent 6 years at the club before moving on to Cambridge United in 1974. Batson starred in their 1976-77 Fourth Division title triumph and followed manager Ron Atkinson to settle at West Brom, where he was presented the award ahead of their recent game against Coventry City. In truth, my debut came as a bit of a shock, and I didn't really have enough time to think about it, said Brendan, when he spoke to the matchday programme for Black History Month back in October. It was a really miserable day up at Newcastle. I remember we got to half-time and Charlie George was pretty unwell. All of a sudden, I was on the pitch. I remember there being some nervous excitement, but it was only really afterwards when I tried to reflect on the performance and whether it was good enough that I realised I'd played for Arsenal. My name wasn't even on the team sheet, as, back then, substitutes weren't always listed. Becoming Arsenal's first black player wasn't something that I really gave much significance to at the time. In fact, I didn't even know I was until I was introduced at an anti-racism event at Stamford Bridge many years later. When I found out, it was a bit of a surprise. Looking back on it, there's a significance because there had to be a first. After retirement, Brendan was appointed as the Deputy Chief Executive of the Players Football Association, PFA, in 1984. He spent almost 2 decades in that role and remains a PFA trustee to this day. In 2023, Brendan released an autobiography called The Third Degree, in which he speaks candidly about his life in football, dealing with grief, and his lifelong battles with racism. A true trailblazer for Arsenal Football Club, we congratulate Brendan for his lifelong achievement in the game. Ticket news. Home tickets. Arsenal v FC Porto. UEFA Champions League. Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024. Kickoff, 8 p.m. Tickets for this match are on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and JG members via the ticket exchange service until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, March the 12th. Arsenal v Chelsea, Premier League. Date, TBC. This match, scheduled for Saturday, March the 16th, has been postponed due to Chelsea's FA Cup participation. Details of a new date for this fixture will be announced in due course. Arsenal v Luton Town, Premier League, Wednesday, April the 3rd, kickoff, 7:30 p.m. The ballots for this match are now closed. Arsenal v Leicester City, Women's Super League, Sunday, April the 21st, kickoff, 2 p.m. Tickets for this match are on general sale. Please note that the date and time of this fixture are subject to change due to TV broadcast selections. Away tickets. Manchester City v Arsenal, Etihad Stadium, Premier League, Sunday, March the 31st, 2024. Kickoff, 4:30 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 20-plus away points. Brighton and Hove Albion v Arsenal, Amex Stadium, Premier League, Saturday, April the 6th, 2024. Kickoff, 5:30 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 20-plus away points. Ref Watch. Today's referee is Robert Jones from Merseyside. This is his sixth match officiating the Gunners, following the 2-2 draw against Tottenham this season, home Premier League wins over Chelsea and Aston Villa last season, along with the 1-1 draw at Southampton. His first match here was our 5-1 Carabao Cup win over Sunderland in 2021-22. In 15 Premier League fixtures this season, Robert has issued 68 yellow cards and 4 reds. NMR shirts for more role models. The No More Red initiative launched in January 2022 with Adidas to support the long-standing work being done by Arsenal in the community to keep young people safe from knife crime and youth violence. Within that, one of the aims was to spotlight the work of young people who have made a positive difference. And the latest recipients of our special No More Red shirts today are Tyrick and Fawaz. Tyrick was first introduced to Box Up Crime when they attended his school, a special educational needs school in Redbridge. Since then, he has become one of Box Up Crime's most committed young leaders, helping to deliver their community sessions on a weekly basis. He has grown in his confidence and skills, and now mentors younger people in Box Up sessions to do the same. He is a key member of the team at their summer camps, schools, and gyms. Fawaz is full of character and drive. Not always fitting in formal environments, he has started to prove himself in the field of acting. Over the last 2 years, he has enrolled in acting programs, has successfully auditioned for 3 film roles, and is now working hard towards his next audition. He is a role model at Copenhagen Youth Project because young people have seen how he has demonstrated resilience and an ability to avoid difficult situations, and his determination to become an actor is evident. Notice board. Happy 90th birthday to Ronan McGreevy. Love from Beda, Mary, John and Angela. Happy 13th birthday, Sasha. Enjoy the game. COYG. Love Daddy, Mummy and Sophia. Happy 60th birthday, Mum. Love Harriet. Happy 50th birthday, Simon Brown, aka Brownie. 29-year season ticket holder, lifelong fan. Enjoy your special celebrations. Love Bonesy. Christian's first ever Arsenal game, aged 5. Come on, you Gunners. Wishing longtime season ticket holder Eddie Joyce a happy 80th birthday. As he always says, happy days and keep the faith. Happy 70th birthday, Jean Murray from Edinburgh. Enjoy your first ever match at the Arsenal, Jack Nesta. Have lots of fun. Love Mum and Dad. Happy 40th birthday, Colin. Enjoy the match and experience. Lots of love, Liz, Cathal, Thomas, John, Roy, Alan and Marie. Happy 6th birthday, Logan Smith. Love from Mummy, Daddy and Cooper. 34 today. Happy birthday, Terry. Enjoy the game. COYG. Love from Tess. In loving memory of Dave McTurnan, dear husband of Debbie, father of 6, a train driver for over 45 years. In our hearts forever. Enjoy the game, Zach Raheem. Big welcome to George Walker, age 8, Liverpool from birth, on his first match at the Emirates. Much love, Granny and Grandpa. Wishing Bella Harries and her dad Tom a very happy birthday. Hope you enjoy the game. COYG. Wishing you a very happy 18th birthday, Ben. Love Mum, Dad and Sammy. 7th of February 2006. Wishing you a very happy 16th birthday, Sammy. Love Mum, Dad and Ben. 6th of March, 2008. Happy 16th birthday, Ava Bioletti. Love Mum, Dad and Mia. Happy 50th birthday, Mark Panayiotou. Love from your family. To Sunny, happy 13th birthday. Lots of love from Mum, Dad and Joey. Welcome to London and to the Arsenal, Romas Pouatsiokatis and Romantas Skamarosius. Arsenal remembers Mukesh Shant. In loving memory of Mukesh, father of three Gunas, son, brother and uncle, passed away on 22nd of January 2024. Always in our hearts. Frederick Hopper. Sadly passed away February the 4th, 2024. Fred was a lifelong Arsenal supporter who will be missed by us all. Rest in peace. James Bowerman, 1939 to 2024. Much loved husband, dad, granddad and Arsenal fan, forever in North London. Paddy Purcell, devoted husband, dad, granddad, brother and Arsenal season ticket holder, who had watched the Gunners since 1971 upon moving to London from Ireland, fueling his wife, children and grandchildren's love for the club. Paddy will forever be missed and remembered. Sam Oatley, July the 21st, 1977 to January the 8th, 2024. Arsenal meant the world to Sam, who would tell his three boys about his favourite Arsenal moments and all-time hero Dennis Bergkamp. He was also building the next generation of footballers as a coach with Frome Town United. Gone far too soon, but never forgotten. Dave May, died December 2023, teacher in Islington all of his career, lifelong Gooner, much loved husband, dad, granddad, brother and uncle. William Bill Elliott, 1964 to 2024. In loving memory of Bill, Arsenal fan. Come on, you Arsenal. Mary Colton, remembering a lifelong fan of the Gunners, who sadly passed away on February the 20th, aged 91. Terry Doyle, a true Gooner, son, brother, dad, uncle and husband. Loved so much and always in our hearts. Harry Wren, just 23, RIP. Loved Arsenal, loved football, loved life. Condolences to all Harry's family and friends. North London forever. From Carmel Crampton and family. John Alistair Sheehan, lifelong Arsenal fan, taken from us far too soon. Father to Freddie, Skye and Finley, husband to Natasha. Ferenc Fez Joseph Hegedus, sadly missed by your family, friends and workmates. Rest easy, brother. R.I.P. Patricia Ewens. In loving memory of Patricia, 21st of January 1943 to 22nd of December 2023. We love and miss you so much. Rest in peace, our beautiful mother. Lots of love and memories. Your children and grandchildren. Andrew Gilston. Unfortunately, on Friday, February the 9th, we suddenly lost a father, a son, a brother, and an extremely loved friend. He travelled everywhere to watch his beloved Arsenal and will be forever missed but never forgotten. He will be with us in our hearts forever. R.I.P. Brian Harvey, a lifelong Gooner who sadly passed away in January. A kind and generous man, he always had time for everyone and loved nothing more than bringing family to the Arsenal. We will miss you dearly, Dad. Jean Iris Lucroft and Jacqueline Elaine Lucroft. Welcoming the Lucroft family, who are here today in memory of Jean Iris Lucroft and Jacqueline Elaine Lucroft, both greatly missed by their family and friends. Love from everyone at Arsenal Football Club.
Together, Aaron Ramsdale. Our goalkeeper on how the togetherness from the club as a whole, not just his teammates, has been of vital importance to him so far this season. This season has obviously been very different from Aaron Ramsdale's first couple of years at the club. Having established himself as the number one soon after arriving from Sheffield United in the summer of 2021, he's found minutes harder to come by this season, with David Raya regularly between the sticks in the Champions League and Premier League. Always a lively, effervescent character around the changing room, Aaron admits he's been more reserved this season, but that he will always be a vocal part of the team. That's something that's been within him since his very early days in the sport, right back to starting out in schoolboy football. So, what was the young Aaron like around the team as a young lad? Well, I was more stupid than I am now, he smiles. I was more easily influenced then as well by those wanting me to have a laugh, especially when I got into first team dressing rooms. The older pros were always encouraging me to do things, but I've never really been quiet. I always seemed to gravitate towards the older professionals, and they always wanted me to just be myself. I'd say I've calmed down a bit now because of where I've got to and the situation I'm in. You've got to be more reserved and pick your times of when to have a laugh and a joke. Being the centre of attention and focal point of the dressing room has always been something he's enjoyed, though, and again dates back to his very early days of being part of a team. When I was at school with my mates, firstly, we had a really good team, he recalls. There was me and a lad who used to play for Crewe and three or four others who had been on trial at pro clubs. The other half of the team all played for the same Sunday team, so we had a really good group anyway. But being an academy boy, they obviously looked to me to be the best I could, and that was always the case. When I was in goal playing against schoolboys and Sunday league footballers, obviously I never wanted to concede to them. I wanted to show how good I was. That pressure was always there, but I enjoyed it. It was good fun. If it wasn't the boy playing for Crewe scoring the goals, it was me keeping them out, so between us we did well. So, with those powers of communication and eagerness to be vocal, was he ever a captain at youth level? No. One of the reasons is probably the age-old thing of people not wanting goalkeepers as captains. I might have done it for the odd reserve game, but never was made captain. Goalies and armbands don't seem to go together often. You see the odd one, maybe the more experienced ones. I was always loud. You don't need an armband to be able to talk. Before a game, I'm actually quite quiet in the dressing room and focusing on what I need to do. I've never been one to rant and rave before a game, probably on the basis that if you give it out to people, then don't do your own job properly, it can come back on you. So it's usually more half-time or after the game that I speak more. Before the game, the communication is usually more individual, about giving each other confidence, rather than coaching or anything. As soon as I get on the pitch, though, that's when the level goes up and I'm into the fine details of the game, what we worked on and how to stop the opposition. It's having to deal with time away from the action this season, though, that has been more of a challenge for Aaron. He's played at least 19 league games in each of the past six seasons before this one, basically since making his league debut with Chesterfield back in 2017-18 as a teenager. So, this is new territory for the England stopper, who featured in our 1-0 win away to Brentford back in November. That's where his co-workers have come in, and not just his teammates and coaching staff. He says the togetherness and companionship of the team behind the team has been as precious to him as ever. For me, the physios, masseurs, kitmen, restaurant staff, I'd actually say they are as important as the coaching staff for that side of it, he says. For morale, team spirit and just being a shoulder to lean on, somebody to speak to away from the football world. It's very well known that kitmen are usually the life and soul of a football club and it's no different here. But we also have so many people around the training ground in various roles. Jerry and Tony, who work in the restaurant, have been here for a long, long time. Dave in reception, Sean O'Connor, obviously. They have seen everything, and it's good to talk with them about everything and anything. To keep a football club going in a positive way, away from football, I think these people are so, so important. The number of games we play, whether we have got back late from an away game and you are in the next morning, or you've not had a day off in 20 days, or you are missing your kid's birthday. It's just good to talk that over with people. That's why I love chatting with Jerry and Tony, for example. They care about the football, but they care much more about how you are on the human side. They will ask you about your family every single day, so you find out about their families too. So, especially the boys who are injured or out of form or whatever, it takes you away from that footballing world. It normalises you and your situation. Then, after chatting with them, you go downstairs and you have Will and DJ the Kitmen doing all sorts of jokes. Then you go and have a massage, and we have five or six masseurs and a masseuse. And so, depending on how you are feeling that day and who you want to chat with, they are available. These people are more important than anyone in terms of team bonding. Has that been the case more than ever this season, given his lack of playing time? You could say that, the 25-year-old continues, but to be honest, I tend to spend a lot of the time with the kit men, or Stu the photographer, or Johnny the chef, or Tony and Jerry. Last year, myself, Dan, who was our player liaison, Adam, who works at the training ground, and Jonesy the kit man, we completed our Panini sticker albums. Every morning I would be down in their office with them, spending hours swapping stickers. Of course, they have all helped this season too, especially Jerry and Tony. Being a new father now as well, we can talk about that, and it takes your mind off everything else. I've always been close to the kit men at any club I've been at, because they are always the most normal, down-to-earth people, and they work so hard because the hours are crazy. They live and breathe it. They are usually bonkers as well, so I love having a cup of tea with them. Having this support network around you is one of the benefits of playing in a team sport. Aaron is also a keen golfer, and he says the mindset of being an individual athlete is vastly different to a footballer, both on and off the playing surface. Yeah, it must be completely different, he says. As a goalkeeper, we have a different mindset to the players anyway, but in an individual sport, I imagine that would be even more acute. It's hard to imagine because it's completely different, but they can't rely on anyone else. I know a few professional golfers, but for them, a solo sport is all they've known. Like for me, I've only known team sports. It's just normal for us. I haven't really discussed it much with them, but if I listen to a podcast about it, it's interesting to hear their take on it and pick parts out of it that resonate with me. As a goalkeeper, you have your mechanisms to get over it if you make a mistake, but you still have 10 other people to help you out. Whereas a golfer, it's all on you for the next shot. Some of those devices will cross over, though, for sure, because it's about how quickly you can get out of situations. You can't dwell on anything in either sport, but for me, if I make a mistake, I might not touch the ball again for 10 minutes. A golfer, though, could put it in the water, make a 7, and then has to take his next shot moments later. They have to get over things a lot quicker as an individual. And this is where the supporters also play a part. From the moment he made his debut, our goalie has enjoyed a special bond with the fan base, going through the highs and lows with them and becoming an ever more popular figure among the stands. Especially this year with the situation I found myself in, they have been extra special, he states. Even before my games, when my name is read out, I've heard the cheers and warming up, people still want to give me a wave. I think that's kept me going more than I realised this season. Home and away, I've always felt the love, heard chants, and that's not something the second goalkeeper will get at many other places. So, for sure, that's been a massive boost for me. It could have been easy going through the season thinking you are forgotten about, but it's been special during a difficult time with how much love they've shown. Obviously, fans have their favourites, but personally, I think they've shown huge respect to both goalkeepers. They've supported whoever plays, and I think that shows great unity from the fan base. They want the team to do well. The team comes first, and I can't thank them enough for what they do. What they do for the team, in general, is outstanding.
Arsenal Women. Gunners edge Spurs in Derby. Arsenal kept pace at the top of the Women's Super League with a hard-fought 1-0 win in the North London Derby at Emirates Stadium on Sunday. The Gunners dominated in front of another sell-out crowd of 60,050, but Tottenham defended bravely and it fell to Alessio Russo to secure all 3 points with the only goal of the game early in the second half. The Gunners won a corner inside the first minute after Beth Mead's shot was deflected wide, and we followed that with another 6 inside the opening 10 minutes, the most dangerous of which Tottenham skipper Molly Bartrip had to clear from perilously close to her own goal line. For all of our attacking play, Tottenham had the best chance of the game on 17 minutes when Martha Thomas broke down the right, cut inside and forced a good save from Manuela Zinsberger. Up the other end, a cross from Mead just evaded Caitlin Ford at the far post, but we regained possession and continued to probe, with Bartrip doing well to block a shot from Mead. Once again, the visitors looked dangerous on the break, however, and on 25 minutes, Zinsberger tipped a shot from Jessica Naz onto the bar. We dealt with 2 successive corners before driving forward and winning another corner of our own, and moments later, the Tottenham defence managed to smother another cross from Mead, with Ford well placed. That really was the story of the first half as the visitors stood firm. Into the second half, we were back on the attack with Katie McCabe's shot deflecting wide and Spurs dealing with yet another corner before the opening goal arrived on 49 minutes when a brilliant crossfield pass from Kim Little found Mead in space on the right and she squared for Russo to lash the ball home from close range. Moments after the restart, Mead caused chaos at the back again after being played in by Lotte Vuben-Moy and Spencer cut out a cross from Little, but at the other end Zinsberger had to be alert to claim a cross from Celine Bizet-Ilduzoy. On the final 15 minutes we won a free kick near the edge of the Tottenham penalty area when Little was brought down, but Mead's shot was straight at Spencer, who then denied sub Stina Blackstenius after gifting the ball to the Swedish forward to the left of her own 6-yard box. There were no further goals, but victory was enough to keep us 3 points behind Chelsea and Manchester City. And we're not done yet. We still have one more game here at Emirates Stadium, and tickets are available now for the clash with Leicester City on Sunday, April 21st. It's our penultimate home game of the season, ahead of trips to Everton and Manchester City, before we host Brighton and Hove Albion at Meadow Park on the final day. We are, of course, hoping that when we face Leicester City here, we will be pushing for the Women's Super League title with just 1 month of the season remaining. History Makers. An all-female grounds team from various industries have made history by preparing the pitch at Emirates Stadiums for last Sunday's North London Derby, a milestone for the women's sport and the role of women in making sport possible. In the months leading up to the match, the Barclays Women's Super League and Women in Football have collaborated with the Grounds Management Association, the GMA, and Arsenal, helped 13 grounds professionals become the first all-female grounds team to work across a Women's Super League game. The trailblazing group worked hard to prepare the pitch, with 2 of them, Arsenal ground staff Bobby Murphy and Tara Sandford, kicking off proceedings by working the club's Premier League fixture against Newcastle United on February 24th. The 13 women involved came from venues across a variety of sporting and educational facilities and were led by Tara, who said, "Being a part of the first all-women's ground team to prepare a Women's Super League match has been hugely exciting for me on both a personal and professional level. The consistent level of support we have seen for our women's team shows how much the game continues to grow, and it's important we harness this to encourage more girls to pursue a career in football." Gunners' goal rush. Virtually the entire senior Arsenal squad were called up for international duty at the end of February, bar the retired Kim Little, and plenty of our players were among the goals. England were in fine form as they began preparations for next summer's European Championships, with Alessia Russo and Beth Mead both scoring doubles in the 7-2 win over Austria in Spain on February 23rd. Lot Vuben-Moy was introduced at half-time and provided an assist for Chelsea's Jess Carter to make it 5-1 on 70 minutes. And things got even better for our in-form central defender when she scored the opening goal, her first for England, just 2 minutes into the Lionesses' 5-1 win over Italy last Tuesday. Elsewhere, Steph Catley set up Caitlin Ford to score in Australia's 3-0 win over Uzbekistan, and a 4-0 aggregate victory booked the Matildas' place at this summer's Olympics. Lea Cudina also featured as Spain beat the Netherlands 3-0 to reach the Nations League final and book their own place at the Paris Games. There were also two goals for Frida Manum in Norway's 5-0 win over Croatia this week, while at the Gold Cup in the United States, Chloe Lacasse scored and provided three assists in Canada's 6-0 win over El Salvador. Walk in her name. As in 2023, our supporters have organised a 100-kilometre walk to take place throughout March to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Action in honour of Beth Mead's mum, June, who passed away from the disease in January 2023. Last year, this amazing event raised nearly £12,000, so we want to help them receive as many donations as possible in 2024. Walk in Her Name is now underway, and you can follow it by heading to AWSC_walkinhername on Instagram, where you will also find the Just Giving link to make a donation. Please help if you can. Get well soon, Viv. Jonas Eidevall confirmed ahead of last Sunday's North London derby that Viviane Meidema is out of action after requiring minor knee surgery. The Dutch striker only returned to the first team last November after 11 months out with an ACL injury. We will, of course, keep you updated on her progress, but she is expected to be out of action for several weeks. We're with you every step of the way, Viv.
Sustainability. Arsenal acts. Spring into action. With the darkness and gloom of the winter starting to fade and the first sight of spring, this time of year is always a bit more pleasant and positive, especially with both of our teams looking in great form and flying high. Spring is also a time of year where we get to see nature in all its beauty. We are looking forward to the wildflowers at the Sober Realty Training Centre and the emergence of our insects from their winter slumber. We are really looking forward to seeing our bees in action again and hopefully enjoy the benefits of their labour with lots more of the sweet sober honey that they have started producing. Spring is a great opportunity to look at some flowering plants around your own home to help our pollinators and to bring that wonderful natural colour. As the weather gets warmer and the daylight longer, it's also a very good time to get the bike out of the shed, make sure it's roadworthy, and make a commitment to use this most sustainable mode of transport whenever you can. You may have noticed the ever-increasing number of cycle lanes in and around Islington, so why not bring your bike to Emirates Stadium on a match day, where we have a safe storage area available for cycling supporters. Where's the honey? We mentioned the honey being made at the Sober Realty Training Centre. Well, there are also several hives in place within the Arsenal Forest. Francis Miranda is a senior member of the BGU Workers Cooperative that manages all the tree planting in Boer. In the picture in the hard copy of this programme, he is pacifying the bees with a smoker in order to assess the honey production. Verdict: the bees are doing fine, but we're going to have to wait a bit longer for our Arsenal honey, as the prolonged heavy rains have kept the bees at home in their hives more than usual at this time of year. But the rain has helped all the neem trees in Boer produce plenty of flowers,
which means that when it finally stops, those hungry bees will have plenty of nectar to feed on and pollen to bring back to their hives. Now we just need the rain gods to decide to move out of the area for a few weeks and let the bees do their thing. Be a part of the Arsenal Forest. For more on the project and to buy your own trees for just £1 each, scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme.
Community Voice. Arsenal Acts. Project Premier League Inspires. Established 2018. Participants since starting 2000 plus. Yearly participants 550. Available to secondary schools in Hackney, Camden and Islington. For more information, email Holly Fanshawe, Secondary Education Curriculum Lead, hfanshawe@arsenal.co.uk. Premier League Inspires uses the power of football to inspire and engage young people aged 11 to 18 who are not predicted to reach their full potential. Arsenal in the Community delivers this programme, which combines classroom and football activities across Hackney, Camden and Islington, supporting young people to develop the skills and confidence they need to succeed in life. PL Inspires involves both long-term programmes where young people are supported for 8 to 16 weeks and one-off events. Last week, 7 events took place at Emirates Stadium to mark National Careers Week and International Women's Day. Young people took in A Day in the Life events in which we studied different club departments to allow young people to understand the range of careers available to them. The week concluded on International Women's Day on March 8th, when we invited 75 girls from across our community programmes for a day of networking with Arsenal staff, stadium tours and a celebration of the amazing female role models in our lives. A large part of PL Inspires is about supporting youth social action and enabling young people to make positive contributions to their community. Every year the Premier League hosts a national challenge event where teams from across the country come together to present their social action project. This year the team to represent us at this competition was decided through a local heat in which 16 teams competed for top spot. Well done to our winners, Youth Excellent from Petchy Academy. All roads now lead to the PL event and national final. What the Inspires participants say. I have learned to be confident in myself, and if things don't work out, there are always backup options. Everyone tries to involve each other, and everyone is nice to each other. I just wanted to thank you for the support offered. I used the techniques we were taught in a job interview last week and got my first job. It taught me lots about the workplace and what rights I have and what my options are for the future.
My fave shirt. Supporters tell us about an Arsenal shirt they hold in particular affection. Socrates Miltiadou is soon to be 60 and was born at nearby Whittington Hospital before growing up in Muswell Hill. His favourite shirt is a classic with an Asian flavour. I've been immersed in the Arsenal world since my earliest memories. For 15 years our family home was a stone's throw away from the hallowed Highbury ground. And now we've made our home in Camden. My two sons, born and bred next to the ground, are die-hard Gooners. We often find ourselves squabbling over who gets to accompany me with my second season ticket. The 1971 FA Cup final is vividly etched in my mind, a landmark moment in our illustrious history. It's not just the game that stayed with me, it's my 1971 Cup final shirt. It symbolised more than just fabric. It was a piece of history, a fragment of a golden era. Unfortunately, as I outgrew it, its fate was less glorious, repurposed by my mother into dusters. This painful memory is a reminder of why I cherish and protect my current collection so fiercely. One particular shirt that stands out in my collection is the 2017/18 Asia Tour shirt. It's unique, and I really like the rework sponsor. Despite its association with a 3-0 loss to Chelsea at the National Stadium in Beijing, wearing it during the 1-0 Manchester City game in October, where Martinelli clinched a winner in the 86th minute, turned the shirt into a talisman of sorts for me. Looking back at the team in Beijing, Mesut Ozil's brilliance was undeniable. His visionary passes, effortless control, and strategic mind made him a mesmerizing figure on the field. His arrival at the club was like a dream, and watching him play was to witness artistry in motion. I acquired the shirt from a fellow collector outside the Emirates, and it quickly became a favourite. My passion for collecting shirts is unwavering. Each shirt not only tells the story of a game or a player, but also becomes a part of our family's history. We even have a mannequin, ceremoniously adorned with our favourite shirt of the moment. It's a weekly ritual that adds a touch of fun to our collection. I only wear this one occasionally, along with many others. Each match day for us is preceded by a ritual. My younger son and I, like generals strategizing a battle, decide which shirt will bring us luck. It's a tradition that sparks discussions about historic games and legendary players, bonding us further in our love for the club. Did you know? Arsenal only wore this special shirt once, for a friendly against Chelsea in Beijing in July 2017. We lost 3-0, but would gain revenge 2 weeks later when we beat the Blues 4-1 on penalties to lift the Community Shield at Wembley. Said Kolasinac had forced the shootout by scoring his first goal for the club with 8 minutes remaining to cancel out Victor Moses's opener. We did have success in a similar one-off version of the 2017/18 away kit, beating Bayern Munich 3-2 on penalties following a 1-1 draw in the International Champions Cup in Shanghai, 3 days before the Chelsea defeat. That kit was all black with pink lettering and logos. Are you a shirt collector? If you share an interest in collecting Arsenal kit, there is an Arsenal shirt collectors group of over 3,500 members worldwide who buy, sell and swap Arsenal kit from all seasons. All welcome. You can find them on Twitter at @shirt_Arsenal or Facebook www.facebook.com/groups/98620242461.
Academy Young Gun, Nathan Butler Oyedeji. The Basics. Born London, 4/1/03. Joined May 6, 2011. Height 5'7", weight 70 kilograms. Position forward. School Walthamstow Academy, number 42. Boots Adidas X. Rate yourself out of 100. Pace 95, dribbling 90, passing 85, shooting 80, defending 45, physical 80. I grew up in Walthamstow, East London, and I got into football from watching my dad, Taju Oyedeji, play. When my dad was young, he had a scholarship at Crystal Palace, but although he didn't get a professional deal, he played at the lower league levels, and I used to go and watch him regularly. On top of that, I would also go into the park and join in with people there, and I just fell in love with the game. My family background is that my dad's Nigerian and my mother is from St. Vincent. The Butler is from my mum's side and Oyedeji is from my dad's side. My dad always encouraged me to watch clips of Thierry Henry to understand the art of playing in attack, but I also watched the likes of Ronaldinho too, just mesmerised by their ability. I tuned in to all the football shows, like Premier League Years, Match of the Day. I was football mad. When I was 7, I would go to group sessions at Goals, and a coach spotted me and invited me to train at Leyton Orient. And then, when I was training with them, I was invited by someone again, but this time it was to go and train with Arsenal. It was the perfect club for me, because I live just 5 minutes away from Hale End, so I would always drive past it regularly. My dad always said to me when we drove past it that I would be there one day, and it actually happened.
By the time I was 8, I had officially joined the club. At the time when I joined, we had the likes of Ovi Ejihiri, Miguel Aziz, Yunus Musa, Alex Kirk and kiddo Taylor Hart all there with me. During our Hail End days, we'd go on year-born tours, so it would depend on what year you were born in. For example, I'd go to a tournament with everyone born in 2003. I remember our first tournament being in France, and that was really exciting and a great experience. Getting my scholarship was a bit of a nerve-wracking time because I kept on getting injured in the lead-up to it. It would be a thing where I would score, get injured, come back and score, then get injured again. I always knew I was good enough, but I wanted to be on the pitch to prove it and leave no doubt in the coach's mind. Then, going from Hail End to Sober Realty Training Centre is quite daunting as, when you're an under-16, you're top dog of the place, but when you go to the first team training ground, you're back to being a small fish, as you've got the under-18s, under-21s and first team all there. But as soon as you get to training, listening to the older players, you become accustomed to the environment and it becomes much easier. I've also trained with the first team on multiple occasions. The first time you train with them, you get starstruck because you're playing with people you play with on FIFA and the tempo is crazy in your first few sessions. But once you train over and over again with them, you adapt and it becomes more manageable. I look up to a lot of the first team players, particularly the Hail End guys like Eddie, Reese, Bukayo, Emil, as they have shown that there is a pathway. But I also love Gabby Jesus. He's a top player and I love everything about his game. My first loan spell at Accrington Stanley was quite hectic as it happened on deadline day in January 2023. I didn't actually realise how far away it was from London, which surprised me. But their fans were amazing and it's a proper family club. The manager then, John Coleman, is a legend up there and he's a top coach to work with. It was a great learning experience, especially coming from Arsenal under-21s to then seeing what proper senior football is like, and it took me out of my comfort zone, which is something I needed. The biggest difference between academy football and senior football, I'd say, is the importance of 3 points. At under-21 level, 3 points is important, but there's more emphasis on development and improving. But when you get to senior football, it's all about getting results and the 3 points on a Saturday. The importance of 3 points can determine a person's quality of life, given the impacts of a promotion or relegation, and you feel it every single week when you're playing. Earlier this season, I was at Cheltenham Town, which was another good learning experience. It wasn't easy, and it was challenging as we had a managerial change early during the season. Plus, given that we were in a relegation fight, the manager turned to the more experienced players, which is completely understandable given the circumstances. However, I can take the positives out of learning from the older players into my next opportunity. When you're playing senior football, the atmosphere is crazy. I remember playing at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday and I was like, oh my gosh, there were like 28,000 plus people and I wasn't used to playing in front of those crowds. They made it a proper hostile atmosphere for us. Other stadiums I've enjoyed playing at are Pride Park and Bloomfield Road, which are both lovely grounds. For the rest of the season, I'm just hoping to stay fit as always, train more with the first team and help out the team as much as I can. Always staying ready because you never know when you can be called upon. I really want to push on in my career.
Around the academy, a game of two halves. Our young gunners fell to a 3-1 defeat at home to Brighton and Hove Albion on Saturday, February the 24th, in the under-18s Premier League. Schoolboy forward Chido Martin Obi gave us an early lead after just 2 minutes, but Brighton equalised just before half-time. We were reduced to 10 men when keeper Brian Okonkwo was shown a red card early in the second half, allowing the away side to capitalise on the numerical advantage and score 2 more goals to secure all 3 points. It was a game of two halves, said coach Jack Wilshere after the match.
I thought we were very good in the first half and dominated the game. I challenged the team after last week to make better decisions, be better in possession, and be better technically, and I thought we were. In the first half, it was clear what we were trying to do. You could see our playing style. But then we got a red card in the second half, which changed the game, said Jack. There were moments in the first half where I would have liked us to be more decisive, because we created a good amount of chances, but only scored one goal. I also thought that we conceded a sloppy goal before half-time. Especially when you're dominating, to get done in behind with one pass is difficult to take, but it's learning for the players, he added. Wilshere stressed the importance of converting domination into goals, citing the recent successes of the first team, who secured 5-0 and 6-0 victories in successive recent Premier League matches. I think you see with the first team recently in the Premier League that they've been killing off teams early and dominating with their style, said Wilshere. When they're creating those chances, they're being very decisive and making them count. Of course, this is development football, but that's where the players want to get to, and there comes a time where they have to start executing those moments in games. As you get older, when you get to the under-21s and first team, the moments don't come round as often, and the games are more tight. Gunners lose pitch battle. Arsenal under-21s coach Mehmet Ali encouraged his side to adapt better to the difficult conditions after our 3-0 away defeat to West Bromwich Albion on Monday, February the 26th. Rhys Hall opened the scoring after the half-hour mark, and Issosa Sule scored a late brace in added time to cement all 3 points for the home side. All spoke about the difficulty of finding a rhythm on what was a subpar playing surface at Keys Park, home of Hednesford Town. It's a good opportunity for the players to learn, because this is the second game we've had this season where the pitch has not been great, and our opponents have adapted a lot better than we have done, he said. We're used to playing on better surfaces, and it showed tonight as we struggled to get into a rhythm. But what was frustrating was the goals we gave away, and at this level you can't give away cheap goals. When it's 1-0, we're chasing the game, and they're sitting back, which made it very difficult for us to create opportunities. I think we tried to move the ball in the first half, and we did that well at times, but we were a little bit naive given the pitch. But credit to West Brom, they played in a low block, made it difficult for us, and caught us on transition late on. They executed their game plan better than what we did, so we've got to get better at understanding how we can do better in certain situations. Despite the result, Ali was looking forward to hopefully getting a more positive result the following Friday night and a trip to Chelsea. They are doing well and have a lot of good players, plus it's a London derby, which we're looking forward to. The team bounced back brilliantly in the local derby with a 4-2 victory. We'll bring you reaction to that match in Tuesday's Porto programme. Mika continues hot streak. Just a week after netting the opener in their 4-1 home win in the UEFA Europa Conference League knockout playoff round first leg, Mika Bereth scored the winner as Sturm Graz beat Slovan Bratislava 1-0 in the second leg to win 5-1 on aggregate and advance, where they will face LOSC Lille in the round of 16. 3 days later, Bereth continued his great form by scoring the opener in Sturm Graz's 2-0 win over WSG Tyrol in the Austrian Bundesliga, and last weekend he notched in a 4-0 win over Wolfsberger, meaning he now has 5 goals in 7 appearances since joining Graz on loan in January. It's an Arthur clean sheet. Arthur Okonkwo is having an excellent experience on loan at Wrexham, making his 25th League Two appearance of the season last weekend against Accrington, and getting a 10th clean sheet as the Welsh team enjoyed a comfortable 4-0 home win. The victory left Wrexham, who were only promoted from the National League last season, on 63 points in third place, which is the final automatic promotion place, 3 points behind league leaders Mansfield, but on the same amount of points as second-placed Stockport. Crewe sit in fourth on 61 points, with MK Dons fifth on 58. It looks likely to be an exciting end to the season for Arthur. Famous Four win Football Federation's Cup. Arsenal schoolboys Jack Porter, Owen Asamota, Theo Julien and Max Dowman were all part of the England under-16 squad that won the Football Federation's Cup recently. The Young Lions won all three games, beating Saudi Arabia 3-1, Sweden 4-0 and South Korea 3-0 to clinch the fourth edition of the competition. Held in Albia, Spain, this national team tournament is for players born in 2008.
Visitors, Brentford. Tonight's visitors, formed 1889. Stadium, Bradford Community Stadium, since 2020. Capacity, 17,250. Owner, Matthew Benton. Honours, second-tier champions, 1934-35. Playoff winners, 2020-21. Third-tier champions, 1932-33, 1991-92. Fourth-tier champions, 1962-63, 1998-99, 2008-09. 2022-23, POTY, Ben Mee. Most appearances, Ken Coote, 559, 1949-1963. Most goals, Tim Towers, 163 goals, 1954-1961. Famous fans, Rick Wakeman, musician, Dean Gaffney, actor, Greg Dyke, ex-director general of the BBC, Natalie Sawyer, TV and radio presenter. Brentford's third season in the Premier League is proving to be more challenging than the first two, in which they ended a 74-year absence from the English top flight by securing highly respectable final positions of 12th and 9th. Indeed, the West Londoners were in contention for a first-ever European qualification for much of last term, eventually missing out by just 2 points. The 2023-24 campaign, however, has been a whole lot tougher, and the Bees visit Emirates Stadium this evening with just 26 points from their 27 matches and, although six clear of the drop zone going into today's fixtures, still far from sure of their Premier League status for 2024-25. A dramatic 2-2 draw at home to Chelsea last Saturday at least ended a run of three successive defeats, but Brentford have still failed to win all but three of their last 16 matches in the competition, losing 12 of those. With the addition of two early exits in the two knockout competitions, the first of them a 1-0 defeat at home to Arsenal in the Carabao Cup in September, the same score as in the Premier League fixture 2 months later, and a second in an FA Cup third-round replay against Wolves, 1-1 home and 3-2 away after extra time, positive results have been hard to come by for Thomas Frank's team this season. A 2-0 win at Molineux on February 10th is the only one of Brentford's last eight Premier League away fixtures that has not ended in defeat. Since Christmas, they have lost three London derbies on the road, 3-1 at Crystal Palace, 3-2 at Tottenham, and most recently 4-2 at West Ham. Though their only other away wins this term have come in the capital, against Fulham 3-0 and Chelsea 2-0 earlier in the campaign. There have been a number of contributory factors behind Brentford's disappointing results. Firstly, star striker Ivan Toney was suspended for the first half of the season. Secondly, the side has been ravaged by injuries. No fewer than seven first-teamers were unavailable with various ailments last weekend, including three players, Ethan Pinnock, Rico Henry and Brian Mbeumo, who were Premier League ever-presents until they became sidelines. And latest victim Ben Mee, who like Henry and ex-gunner Josh De Silva, has been ruled out for the rest of the season. Thomas Frank, manager, born 9th of October 1973, Frederiksværk, Denmark. Previously, Denmark under 16, under 17, under 19, 2008 to 2013. Bromby, 2013 to 16. Brentford assistant, 2016 to 18. Thomas has been at Brentford since December 2016, when he was appointed as a member of Dean Smith's coaching staff. The 50-year-old Dane impressed the club's hierarchy to such an extent that when Smith left for Aston Villa in October 2018, he took over as head coach. It proved a shrewd move as he led the Bees to two successive Championship playoff finals, losing the first but winning the second to steer the West London club to the Premier League for the first time, and has furthermore defied the odds by keeping the West London club in the division with relative ease. Number 1. Mark Flecken, goalkeeper. Born Kerkrade, Netherlands, 13th of June 1963. Previously, Alemannia Aachen, Greuther Fürth, Duisburg, Freiburg. The departure on loan to Arsenal in August of David Rea, a Premier League ever-present in goal for the Bees last season, was offset by the arrival a few weeks earlier of Dutch international Mark, who joined for a reported £11 million from Freiburg, where he had been a Bundesliga ever-present himself in 2022-23. The 30-year-old has shown some defiant form of late, notably in two games last month against Man City. Number 20, Christopher Ager, right-back, born Reilingen, Norway, 17th of April 1998. Previously, Lillestrøm, Start, Celtic, Kilmarnock, loan. Norwegian defender Christopher joined Brentford from Celtic in 2021, following the club's promotion, and made his Premier League debut in the 2-0 home win against Arsenal that August. He spent four seasons in Glasgow, winning three successive domestic trebles, and can play either as a right-back or in the centre of defence, where he has been filling in of late due to the Bees' injury crisis in that area. Number 13. Mathias Jorgensen, centre-back. Born Copenhagen, Denmark. 13th of April 1990. Previously FC Copenhagen, PSV Eindhoven, FC Copenhagen, Huddersfield, Fenerbahce, Fortuna Dusseldorf, loan, FC Copenhagen, loan. One of five Danes in Thomas Frank's squad, Matthias is the oldest of the clan at 33. Known as Zanka in his homeland, he has won 36 caps and was involved at the 2018 World Cup and Euro 2020. A five-time domestic champion and cup winner with FC Copenhagen, his first English club was Huddersfield, 2017-19, and he joined the Bees from Fenerbahce in 2021. Number 6. Christian Norgaard, left-back. Born Copenhagen, Denmark, 10th of March 1994. Previously, Lyngby, Hamburg, Bromby, Fiorentina. Christian reunited with former Bromby boss Thomas Frank when he left Fiorentina for Brentford in 2019. The Danish midfielder was a goalscorer at home to Arsenal on his Premier League debut, 2-0, and also netted in the return fixture that season, a 2-1 defeat. The Euro 2020 and 2022 World Cup participant was named B skipper last summer and has started 25 of the club's 27 Premier League games this term. Number 30, Mads Roerslev, central midfield, born Copenhagen, Denmark, 24th of June 1999. Previously, FC Copenhagen, Halmstad, loan, Vendsyssel, loan. The only uncapped Dane in the Brentford squad, 24-year-old Mads will be hoping to change that before Euro 2024 and add to his selections at every age group from under 17 to under 21. A long-term injury to Aaron Hickey has given him the chance to make the right wing-back position his own this season, and he scored only his second goal for the club in last Saturday's 2-2 draw at home to Chelsea. Number 27, Vitali Janelt, central midfield, born Hamburg, Germany, 10th of May 1998. Previously, RB Leipzig, VfL Bochum. a former German youth international who helped his country to victory in the 2021 European Under-21 Championship, Vitali joined Brentford in October 2020 from Bochum and enjoyed a superb debut campaign as he helped power the Bees to promotion. When fit, the midfielder has been one of the first names on Thomas Frank's team sheet and has played in every Premier League game this season, all but one from the start. Number 17. Ivan Toney, born Northampton, 16th of March 1996. Previously, Northampton, Newcastle, Barnsley, loan, Shrewsbury, loan, Scunthorpe, loan, Wigan, loan, Scunthorpe, loan, Peterborough. Brentford's top scorer for each of the past three seasons, with 20 goals in the Premier League last term, a figure bettered only by Erling Haaland and Harry Kane, Ivan was banned for betting offences during the first half of this season, but has scored four times in eight league games since his return. The 27-year-old has been capped once by England. Number 11. Ioana Wissa, left wing, born Epinay-sous-Senart, France, 3rd of September 1996. Previously, Chateau Roux, Angers, Laval, loan, Ajaccio, loan, Laurent. A B since 2021, Ioani scored one of the Premier League's goals of the season last weekend, an acrobatic overhead kick against Chelsea. The speedy 27-year-old French-born forward was absent for the first few weeks of this year at the Africa Cup of Nations, where he scored twice and won a place in the official team of the tournament, as his DR Congo side unexpectedly reached the semi-finals. 2023/2024 Stat Pack. Premier League. Match facts and total cards. Arsenal. Arsenal have only lost one of their last 10 meetings with Brentford in all competitions. 1-7, drawn 2. A 0-2 defeat in the Bees' first ever Premier League game in August 2021. Yellow cards, 39. Red cards, 2. Brentford. Brentford have won just one in 9 visits to Arsenal in all competitions, drawn 4, lost 4. A 2-0 league win in April 1938. Yellow cards, 61. Red cards, 1. Goals. Arsenal, 68. Brentford, 39. Expected goals, Arsenal 56.2, Brentford 44.4. Goals conceded, Arsenal 23, Brentford 50. Expected goals against, Arsenal 18.8, Brentford 41.7. Clean sheets, Arsenal 11, Brentford 4. Shots, Arsenal 461, Brentford 343. Average possession, Arsenal 61.6%, Brentford 45%. Shot conversion rate, Arsenal 14.8%, Brentford 11.4%. Points gained after trailing, Arsenal 8, Brentford 9. Points dropped after leading, Arsenal 9, Brentford 28. Goal times, Arsenal 0-15 minutes, scored 10, conceded 4. 16-30 minutes, scored 9, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 11, conceded 2. 46-60 minutes, scored 11, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 12, conceded 1. 76-90 minutes, scored 15, conceded 5. Brentford. 0-15 minutes, scored 5, conceded 8. 16-30 minutes, scored 9, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 4, conceded 8. 46-60 minutes, scored 7, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 7, conceded 12. 76-90 minutes, scored 7, conceded 11. Powered by EA Sports. Premier League Opta official data. Scouting report. Text, Adrian Clark. Tactics. Defensive concerns have forced Thomas Frank to have a rethink about his first choice formation recently, with the Bees head coach now settled on 3-5-2 as their primary shape. This used to be reserved for Big Six opponents, but as they currently have the fourth worst defensive record, he has moved away from 4-3-3 for the time being. Since Ivan Toney's return from suspension, one clear tactical change has emerged at Brentford. Goalkeeper Mark Flecken now looks to hit a series of long aerial passes over 50 to 60 yards towards the Brentford striker, who habitually pulls on to one of the fullbacks to receive them. On occasion, he may ask for a driven pass down the middle too, as we saw when they scored against Manchester City. So our back four must be ready to deal with those types of direct long-range distribution. Style of play. Frank is rarely expansive when facing one of the Premier League's leading sides, so we can expect the Bees to be compact down the spine of the pitch, putting 10 or 11 players behind the ball. In possession, they will go long, from back to front, and look to turn our defenders. Sean Dyche's Everton are the only top-flight side to attempt more long passes than Brentford, who are notoriously strong in the air. From flick-ons and second balls, they always present a threat. The West Londoners also have quality in wide areas. Loney left-back Sergio Reguilón has added some class down that side of the field, and they are excellent at delivering accurate crosses into the danger zone. In fact, Brentford have produced more successful crosses in open play, 94, than anyone else so far this term. Strengths. Under their astute Danish head coach, Brentford are always tactically well organised and excellent at limiting space for their opponents. While they do not press high, they are terrific at disrupting play inside the middle third, and this can lead to rival sides losing their rhythm. That focus, coupled with the Bees' disciplined shape, has helped them win 273 interceptions this season, the second highest tally in the division. They are terrific at breaking up play. Weaknesses. In the past, Brentford have been known for their stubborn resistance, but that has not been a strength in 2023/24. When put under periods of sustained pressure, they have been nowhere near as defensively solid, leaking an unusually high number of soft goals. Showing collective fragility and regularly punished for individual mistakes, Sheffield United are the only outfit to have conceded more goals from open play this term than Frank's men, 41. Just four clean sheets from 27 matches tells a story, as does the number of occasions where they have let in three or more in a match. It has happened eight times so far, when it occurred on just five occasions in the previous campaign. Key man. Brentford's main man has hit the ground running since making his return from suspension, finding the back of the net in four of his eight appearances. Toney is the focal point of the side, and somebody teammates know they can find with one long pass, should they be looking to relieve pressure or spring a quick attack. The 27-year-old is physically imposing, but he also possesses a good touch and excellent footballing IQ. His link play when dropping into pockets or pulling wide is an underrated aspect of Toney's game. Cool inside the box and capable of scoring goals in a variety of ways, Toney is the obvious danger man that we must try and tame here at Emirates Stadium.
Match action. Arsenal versus Newcastle United. Arsenal 4, Newcastle United 1. Arsenal scorers. Botman, 18th minute, own goal. Havertz, 24th minute. Assist Martinelli. Saka, 65th minute. Assist Havertz. Kiwior, 69th minute. Assist Rice. Newcastle United scorer. Willock, 84th minute. Assist Burn. Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Emirates Stadium. Key moments. 18th minute. Botman turns into his own net after Lloris had kept out Gabriel's header from a corner. 24th minute. Havertz arrives unmarked to slot the ball in from Martinelli's cutback on the right. 65th minute. Saka rifles home the third after cutting in from the right. 69th minute. Kiwior flicks a header in off Miley from Rice's corner. 83rd minute. Willock nets a consolation with a looping header. 90th minute. Sub Smith Rowe has a goal-bound effort hacked off the line by Byrne. Match facts. The Gunners became the first team in Premier League history to score at least two goals in seven successive halves of football. We've scored 19 goals from set pieces in 2023-24. Everton are next up on 13. We extended our best ever start to a calendar year to six league wins out of six. Quotes. Mikel Arteta. We had a great performance. Big credit to the boys with just 2.5 days to prepare. The way they executed everything. The determination. Aggression. They played with a lot of courage. I think we fully deserve to win the game. They're finding ways to score in various ways. It's very satisfying. We could have scored many more today. There are still some things we have to improve and get players back. Match stats. Expected goals. Arsenal, 2.72. Newcastle, 0.18. Shots. Arsenal, 18. Newcastle, 3. Shots on target. Arsenal, 8. Newcastle, 2. Hit woodwork. Arsenal, 0. Newcastle, 0. Possession. Arsenal, 55%. Newcastle, 45%. Completed passes. Arsenal, 557. Newcastle, 462. Corners. Arsenal, 9. Newcastle, 0. Tackles won. Arsenal, 11. Newcastle, 11. Offsides. Arsenal, 3. Newcastle, 2. Yellow cards. Arsenal, 1. Newcastle, 0. Red cards. Arsenal, 0. Newcastle, 0.
Match action. Premier League, Monday, March 4th, 2024, 8 p.m. Bramall Lane. Sheffield United 0, Arsenal 6. Key moments. 2 minutes. Saka hits the bar from close range. 5. Odegaard tucks home from Rice's pullback. 13. Saka's low cross is turned into his own net by Bogle. 15. Martinelli fires in after a 1-2 with Kivior. 25. A true left-foot finish from Havertz makes it 4-0. 39. Rice gets in on the act, converting Saka's pass. 58. White rips home a left-footed strike to complete the scoring. Match facts. Ben White's goal was our all-time 10,000th goal. Kai Havertz's goal was the 150,000th all-time goal scored in the top flight of English football. We became the first team in English league history to win three successive away games by at least 5 goals. Quotes, Mikel Arteta. The way we started, having to play here on a Monday night after the results, but the team showed again how much they want it, the quality that we have, the determination to continue to go. It's a great night.
Teams. For Arsenal. Manager, Mikel Arteta. Shirt, red with white sleeves. Shorts, white. Socks, white. 1. Aaron Ramsdale, goalkeeper. 2. William Saliba. 4. Ben White. 5. Thomas Partey. 6. Gabriel Magalhães. 7. Bukayo Saka. 8. Martin Odegaard. 9. Gabriel Jesus. 10. Emile Smith-Rowe. 11. Gabriel Martinelli. 12. Jurrien Timber. 14. Eddie Nketiah. 15. Jacob Kiwior. 17. Cedric Soares. 18. Takehiro Tomiyasu. 19. Leandro Trossard. 20. Jorginho. 21. Fabio Vieira. 22. David Raya, goalkeeper. 24. Reece Nelson. 25. Mohamed Elneny. 29. Kai Havertz. 31. Carl Hein, goalkeeper. 35. Alexander Zinchenko. 41. Declan Rice. 63. Ethan Nwaneri. For Brentford, head coach, Thomas Frank. Shirt, blue and lilac. Shorts, aquamarine. Socks, aquamarine. 1. Mark Flecken, goalkeeper. 2. Aaron Hickey. 3. Rico Henry. 5. Ethan Pinnock. 6. Christian Norgaard. 7. Neil Malpay. 8. Matthias Jensen. 9. Kevin Shard. 10. Josh De Silva. 11. Johan Wiese. 12. Sergio Reguilon. 13. Matthias Jorgensen. 14. Saman Godos. 15. Frank Onyeka. 16. Ben Mee. 17. Ivan Toney. 19. Brian Mbeumo. 20. Christopher Ager. 21. Thomas Drakosha, goalkeeper. 22. Nathan Collins. 23. Keen Lewis Potter. 24. Mikael Damsgaard. 26. Shandon Baptiste. 27. Vitali Janelt. 30. Mads Roslev. 31. Hakan Valdimarsson, goalkeeper. 33. Yehor Yarmolyuk. 37. Michael Olakigbe. 38. Ethan Brierley. 40. Ellery Balcom, goalkeeper. Referee, Robert Jones. Assistant referees, James Mannering, Nick Hopton. Fourth official, Darren England. VAR official, Paul Tierney. Additional VAR official, Stephen Meredith. Today's other fixtures, 3 p.m. kickoff unless stated. Manchester United versus Everton, 12:30 p.m. Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Fulham. Bournemouth versus Sheffield United. Crystal Palace versus Luton Town. No room for racism. The Arsenal Foundation, helping young people fulfil their potential through education and sport.
Emirates, Arsenal official partner. Travel with peace of mind. Fly better.
Arsenal's new 23-24 home kit. Shop now or visit the Armoury.
Soak In, Arsenal FC, official money transfer partner. Supercharge your global payments and money transfers. Visit soakin.com. Soak In is a trading name and a registered trademark of Plato Capital Limited. For further information on accessing the Soak In app and related payment services in your country of residence, please refer to www.soakin.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.